I want to ask you, if you haven't already, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 26 and verse 27. We're taking a break this morning for Mother's Day from our series on Origins and God Said. Catherine thought I ought to stay. My wife thought I ought to stay on target with Origins. She said, "You could have preached a sermon entitled, 'And God Said, Let Us Make Woman.'" I said, "That's true, I could." So anyway, John chapter 19, verse 26 and verse 27. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took Mary into his own household. When Jesus was on the cross, we're going to talk about what mothers need, if you'll get out your life point outlines, if you haven't already done that. When the Lord was on the cross, there were seven statements that were made. Regarding the first three, the first one was a prayer, where he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then the second one was a promise, where he said to the thief, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." But then the third one was a provision. And that's what I want us to think about today. Because what he did was he placed the care of his mother into the hands of the Apostle John, the one who is called in Scripture so often the one whom Jesus loved. And so Jesus put Mary in his care. And I want you to look at this first insight in your outline, if you will, this morning. Jesus would not leave earth without showing care for his mother. And here's what I want us to understand. The Lord Jesus, while he was here on earth, while he walked among us, before he left, what he's telling us is Jesus had to show respect and honor to his mother. Jesus had to fulfill the responsibility of a son to a mother, to a parent. Why? Because it is a command of biblical scripture. The fifth commandment of the ten, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, God said this: "Honor your father and your," what? "Mother." Why? "That your days may be long upon the land." If I honor my mother and my dad, that is no promise that I will live to be an old man. But it is a promise that I will live longer than I would have if I hadn't. And so I want you to understand, there is something very important attached by God to how you and I treat our mother. God did not have a mother. He always was. He had no beginning, he has no end. But even though the Father had no mother, the Father spoke to us through Holy Scripture, and he said, "This is one of the big ten I want to leave with you. Of everything that you do, you make sure you do this. Honor your father and your mother." Honor them. And so I want you to notice the question that's in your outline this morning. Do you have a biblical worldview with regards to the woman who is your mother? It doesn't matter if she's gone on to be with the Lord. It doesn't matter if she never was the mother that she should have been. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply saying, do you have a biblical worldview of the woman who is your mother and of the position of motherhood? The question is, do you honor your mother biblically? It was interesting, while I was studying for this, I came across a little deal of some questions that were put to second graders. That's always interesting to get, you know, the insight from little ones. And they wanted to ask a group of second graders some questions about their mother. So let me give you the top ones that I thought anyway. First question, why did God make mothers? Answer from a second grader, mostly to keep the house clean. Now there's a perspective. Question number two, why did God give you your mother and not some other mother? First child said, because we're related. The second one said, God knew she would like me more than other kids' moms would like me. So he gave me the best one for me. Don't you love that? I thought that was good. And third question, why did your mom marry your dad? My grandma says mom didn't have her thinking cap on. I bet that was a private conversation. Who is the boss at your house? I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more work to do than dad. Ladies, can I get an amen? Yeah, there you go. Well, here's the thing. From a survey that was taken of women who primarily are chasing after the Lord, women who want their lives to count for God. Out of that survey, several questions were asked. And one of the main ones was, what do you feel like is your greatest need? And I thought it was telling. And that's why I entitled the message, What Mothers Need. I want you to look at your life point outline. Here is a mom insight that I want us to take away. Huge numbers of mothers are running on empty this Mother's Day. And those of us who are not mothers, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that woman who is your mother. If she's still alive, if she's still close to you, huge numbers of women in this survey, and it was a large cross-section, said that they feel like that they're running on empty. And I think I want us to focus on that. Let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning. Number one, just some mom meds, okay? Some medication for moms today. There are basically two big felt needs. There were others, but these were the two that I just want to focus on. I could take up so much time with different things. Let me just talk about two felt needs of mothers according to the survey. Number one, moms need patience. They need patience. That's what they feel like, that they need patience. Moms on average do not feel like that they're doing well in the area of being patient with their families, being patient with their children, being patient with, you know, their husbands or whatever. And again, these mothers with small children or children still at home said, I need patience raising my own children. And I just want you to know, moms, that this whole message is here to encourage you and hopefully to elicit from those around you who care for you some help for you, just to know that other people care. I read one mother made this statement. She said, I need to find the peace of the Lord Jesus when my children are crying, fussing, demanding, and making my house just noisy. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but probably hands will go up all over the place this morning that you know what that feels like. You feel that need for patience. I want to give you two verses this morning just to deep dive into for just a little bit to this felt need that you have with regards to patience. The first thing I want you to notice is that God understands your struggle. If there's one thing that I need when I feel like my face is on the floor or my back's up against the wall or whatever, that life is just overwhelming to me, it always helps me when I understand that God understands where I am. And I want you to know, I understand that as a mom, I understand that in all of us, in our particular challenges in life, we all come to times where it's like there's not anybody that we can talk to. There's not anybody that we can go to. There's just nobody on our screen that we could go to. We feel like that they would just understand, or they would be able to give us what we need. And I understand all of us get that place at certain times. And when we are at that place, when it's like, I can't tell my husband this, that certainly my kids can't handle it, they can't understand that. And it's just like, I don't have anybody else that I can talk to. I want you to know in those times, those are times when God is saying, I want you to come to me. There are going to be those times, ladies, when there is nobody on this planet who is able to understand where you are, who understands the struggle that you go through, who understands how you feel like your back is up against the wall, how you feel like all of a sudden you found yourself trying to take care of a family whose challenges and everything that they throw at you is bigger than you were able to handle. And you're wondering, how in the world am I going to get to the end of this? How am I going to get to the other side of this? And I just want you to know, when you are feeling that, when that is just overwhelming you, it's just coming in waves over you, I want you to know, understand that is not a feeling that other people do not understand. All of us at certain times in our lives just get overwhelmed. And all of us come to a place where it's just like there's nobody that we can go to. And when you are there, if that's where you are, I want you to know that is when God is saying, I want you to come to me. There are those times that God allows you to go through things, and what the Lord is wanting is, he says, I'm wanting you to learn, I want to be your resource. That when nobody else can help you, I can. When nobody else is able to come alongside and be an encourager, I want to be that for you. And he says it in Psalm 78, verse 56. This is in the New Living Translation. Though he did all of this for them, talking about God and Israel, though God did all these things for Israel, they continued to test his patience. Doesn't that sound like motherhood, ladies? You pour it out. You give everything. You give 110%. And still, it's like trying to fill a black hole. It's just like it's never enough. And you feel that at times. And what God wants you to understand, there may not be anybody close by you that understands, but I understand your battle to be patient. Here's what I want you to understand. Here's what God is saying to us. There's not a person in this room, there's not a person in this city, there's not a person on this planet. There is nobody. The reality is, every one of us have our patience tested by other people. People test our patience. That's a reality. And it doesn't matter who they are. Your children, your spouse, your parents, your best friends, listen, they will always test your patience, especially when you remain in close proximity to them for any extended period of time. You may think you want to take a vacation with them. You may think you want to take a trip with them. But after 2 or 3 days, you're asking yourself, why in the world am I doing this? Why did I ever imagine that this was going to be a good idea? I was crazy to do this. They're driving me nuts. And they're maybe your best friend, or they're your child, or your husband, or whatever. Here's the insight I just want you to understand in your outline. It is impossible to raise your child well and not have your patience tested. I just want you to understand that. It is part of the game. It is the way it's going to be. If you are doing motherhood right, you are going to have your patience tested. You're going to come to that place where you feel like you're at the end of your proverbial rope. And you're doing that because you are being an attentive mom. The adjectives that are used in Holy Scripture to describe the Lord God when he was dealing with his people are words like grieved, angry, merciful, long-suffering, sorrowful. Doesn't that sound like motherhood? It's like, that's me. Last week, yesterday, all of those. You're just across the gambit. And the first thing is, I just want you to understand, when nobody else understands, the one who formed you in your mother's womb understands. And he has given you an assignment. He made you a mom. He made you a mother. And he understands. It tries your patience. He understands that. But he wants you to understand, this is what you give to be a mother. And your children have to have it. Your children have to have your patience. They have to have you staying at it even when you feel like you're at the end of your proverbial rope. They have to have it if they're going to develop and be what they're going to be. That's why God made mothers. The second thing I want you to notice is that patience is an expression of your love. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be patient with each other, make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Mom, and I want you to listen. Watch this. When you're going through a day as a mother and you're having a real challenging time, you know, the kids are just, you know, you're saying, they need to be saved. They need to be born again. And which is probably a true statement, you know, they just need Jesus, you know, in them and walking in the Spirit. But what God wants you to understand, it is not how you feel. It is not how you feel as a mother, but how you act that makes the difference. And sometimes moms are thinking, I'm not being patient because of the way they feel. And God wants you to understand, that's not a true statement. It is how you are behaving, how you're acting that makes the difference. Mom, if you felt like your patience was tested this past week, if you felt like you were mothering right up to the end of your proverbial rope, you were just like, I tied a knot in the end and just tried to hang on. If you felt like you were giving from the bottom of your emotional barrel and you were just right up to the edge all the way through, but yet you made it through the week, you did what you were supposed to do, you carried through, you showed your children how much you love them because you stayed at it. And here's the insight I want you to see. Love is choosing to be patient even when you're irritated. Just because you want to bite a 10-penny nail, just because you want to rip bark off a tree, just because you feel like you want to break something, that doesn't mean you're not being patient. What shows your patience is the fact that you continue doing what God wants you to do in being the mother that God wants you to be. That's the sign of your love for them, that I do it even though I don't feel like it. And here's the insight for all the rest of us here this morning. This is what I want the rest of us to take away this morning with regards to mothers. Here's the insight. God expects the family to help relieve the stress of motherhood. Matthew 7, verse 12. Do for others what you would like them to do for you. Here's one of the takeaways I want us to think about this morning. I want to think about for my home, and I want you to think about your home. Does your home have true love in it? Do you have biblical love for your mother? Do you have biblical love, guys, for your wife and the mother of your children? And kids, are you showing biblical love for that woman who brought you into this world or who has been your mom? Maybe you're adopted. She's your mother. She's the one who cares for you. Here's the insight I want you to see. True love is not reciprocal. It's sacrificial. And the reason I say that is because if I have true love for Catherine, if I really care for her as a mom, if you have true love for your wife or for your mother, and sometimes people say, well, my mother wasn't the mother she was supposed to be. My mother did not mother me. Here's what true love. True love is not reciprocal. In other words, I give back to you the way that you gave to me. The biblical love that God is talking about is a love that gives regardless of what I got. True love is sacrificial. The real deal is sacrificial. And I guarantee your mother, your wife this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is dealing with patience fatigue. If they've got little children at home, they're dealing with patience fatigue. And what I want you to take away this morning is this. On this Mother's Day, I want you to think about how you can relieve the stress of mom. How can you just let her know, I love you. We love you. We care for you. And one of the ways you can do that is initiate some periods of pampering. Ladies, can I get an amen? Huh? Initiate some periods of pampering, you know, where you let her go and have her toes done. For some reason, they really like that. You know, having those painted toenails and getting their fingernails done and all of that. Just some pampering where you take care of the kids. You just let her go and, you know, have a morning, have an afternoon. Give her periodic periods of respite. Just the break. A chance to just catch her breath. Why would you do that? Because when women were surveyed across the board, all kinds of ages, at different stages of life, those moms came back without a doubt, they came back again and again and again, and they said, one of our biggest challenges is we are stressed, and patience, having patience is a huge issue in our life. I'm grateful to have my wife. I do not handle little things. You know what I'm talking about? That little stuff drives me nuts. You know, just all that little nitpicking stuff. And Catherine handles that so well. She does. And I know that for so many of you women, you handle the little details of life so well. But what we need to remember this morning is every woman needs a break. Every mother, every wife needs a break. Why? Number one, because God said, honor your father and your mother. God said, I want you to honor them, and they will do better. So they need this. But then number two, moms need appreciation. Colossians 1 and 3, whenever we pray for you, we always begin by giving thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, mom or your wife, listen, they do not know how you feel unless you tell them. It was kind of like the guy, she knows I love her. I told her that the day we got married. If it changes, I'll let her know. That is not a good position to take in a marriage. That just doesn't work. Now, this is true. This is a real letter. I want you to listen. This was sent to Dear Abby. I enlisted shortly after Pearl Harbor. 36 days later, I was on my way to the Philippines. En route, the Philippines fell to the Japs and we were routed to Australia. 11 days after we landed, I met the most beautiful girl in the world. On our first date, I told her I was going to marry her. I did 18 months later on a 10-day R&R leave from New Guinea. After more than 57 years of marriage and two children, my beloved Mary died 5 days before Christmas. We agreed to scatter our ashes over the mountains, but I found that I could not part with hers. While Mary was alive, she would frequently say to me, "You don't know how much I love you." My reply was always, "Likewise." I never told her, "I love you." Now her ashes are on my dresser, and I tell her several times a day how much I love her. But it's too late. And although I wrote poetry to her, I could not bring myself to say the three words that I knew Mary wanted to hear more than anything else. As my dearest was dying, and we thought she was comatose, I told her these words, "Mary, there aren't enough words to tell you how much I love you." A few hours later, to my surprise, Mary whispered this, "Not enough words." And then she died. The reason I'm writing is to encourage men and families to express their feelings while their loved ones are alive. I don't know why, but many men are reluctant to express the depth of their feelings. Signed, Missing Mary in Colorado. Here's the insight ladies and gentlemen, what you see in your outline, your mother, your wife, needs verbal affirmation for what she does and who she is. She needs that. And then we need to tell you something else. Your wife, your mother, is not perfect. And neither are you. Your wife, your mother, needs regular affirmation, just like you do. Your wife, your mother, is flawed as a human being, just like you. Your wife, your mother, has glaring weaknesses at times, just like you. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Huh? Every time you see your mother, and you know, and I think if your mom is in heaven like mine is today, that's why this statement means so much to me. By God's grace, I did this to mother. But every time you see your mother, every time before you say goodbye, even if she lives here in Lufkin or she lives close to you, every time you should say with your lips, "Mom, I love you and thank you for what you do." Because the day will come when you can't tell her that. And the God who made you has said, honor your mother. Honor her. You honor her who holds that position. So now let me close with this morning. I want to close with mom moves. Just some things that moms can do. I think there's some great examples of mothers in Holy Scripture, like Jochebed, who was, you know, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Then there was Rachel, the mother of Joseph. But two that I want you to remember this morning, 2 Timothy 1, verse 2 and verse 5. To Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. These two women give us, I think, the great moves for a woman to make. And Mama, this is a takeaway for you this morning. I've tried to get your family just to honor you and appreciate you and love you and give you some rest and everything. Here's a couple of takeaways for you. This is what I want to challenge you to do this morning. Number one, radiates a saving faith for your children who you're raising up. Radiate a saving faith. I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother. And you hear what God is saying? Timothy became what he became because of these women in his life. That's what God said. God said he became the man he did because of the mother in his life. In Acts 16 and verse 1, Paul's second missionary journey, it says, then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, there you are, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And Eunice is described as a woman who believed. Her husband didn't. Timothy's dad was not a believer, but his mother was. And her faith was so real. She was so in love with Jesus, it got to her son. And her son got infected with his mother's faith. And so here's the insight. The Bible says that a mother's greatest asset is not fame or fortune, but it's faith. And so, Mom, here's the thing. I want you to ask yourself, do I have a saving faith? Is Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Is there evidence in me that I have turned from my sin and by faith I've turned to Jesus, that my kids know, they know, not just because I say it, but they know by the way that I live, they know that I am a born-again woman. They know that. See, that's what was different about Eunice. And so here's the insight I want to give you. A mother's greatest gift to her child has to first be possessed, because you will never pass to your child what you don't have. You cannot give to your kids what you don't have. Your children, if they're going to catch anything from you, they're going to catch what you have. They're not going to catch what you don't have. And so radiate a saving faith. And number two, embrace a daily faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith of your mother, that the Greek there, which I know may not mean a lot to you, anapokritou, simply means without hypocrisy. It is genuine. So there is this non-hypocritical, genuine faith. Here's what that means. It means Timothy became a believer because the way his mother was at church was the way she was at home. So that's what you're going to think about, ladies. If you want to pass your faith to your child, there is no guarantee. Just because you do certain things, that doesn't guarantee. But the best chance that your child has of truly being born again is they see you live at home in a tangible way what you say you believe. That they see it at the house. And so here's an old saying I gave you, which I thought was great. This is definitely not original. You can con a con and fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid. And that's the truth. Because the kids are around you all day long. I mean, they see the real you. And so you radiate a saving faith, embrace a daily faith, and then lastly, impart a solid faith. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. So Timothy had learned some things. And he obviously learned them from his mom. And that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy learned the word from his mom. And so here's another insight. You cannot teach your child God's word if you're not in it every day. And what I simply mean is, if you don't have a daily quiet time, mom, and this is not about slinging guilt on you. This is not about saying, oh, one more thing. Listen, we're talking about survival. You know, we're talking about being able to live and living well. And what God simply says is, when you feel like that you are just up against the wall and you just are strengthless, you're just so weak, what are you needing more than anything? You're needing to get alone with him. Because you get energy, you get strength from him when you are alone with him. You don't get any other way. And you get that by spending time in the word. And if when the word is a priority in your life, it is the best chance for it to be passed on to your kids. And so here's the challenge in your notes. While your child is at home, get God's word into their heart and their mind. Listen, you know what that means? That means if you haven't already done it, and if they're still young enough, send them to VBS this summer. Make sure they're signed up for our VBS ministry. Teach them the lifestyle of inviting their friends who don't know Jesus to come with them to VBS. I mean, they need to have that is a part of what they do. Send them to summer camp. I think every summer, parents have to choose between church camp or sports camp. Now, you just got to understand, what is it that you want your child to be? Every child in our church ought to be in VBS with their lost friends, passing on to their friends the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, mom, you have the single greatest influence on the souls of your children. Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, all that I am, I owe to my angel mother. Abraham Lincoln. It is because of mom. It's because of how she affected my life. You remember John Newton? Remember that name? Wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. John Newton was a wretch, but he had a godly mother. And John Newton came to faith in Christ, but not after years of wicked living. And John Newton's testimony is, I know the reason I found Jesus, or he found me, was because I had a mama who stayed on her knees for my soul. I would like for all the moms this morning, because I just want to say a blessing on you. Would you stand, all the moms this morning? Would you just stand? We're going to get ready to take our offering. Give an offering to the Lord. I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready for that. But I just want to pray for you. I want to thank you for being here. I know some of you are just tired. You're worn out. You're weary. Your patience is at an end. You feel like you're at the end of your rope. And I just want to pray for you. And I want you to remember, there are some times in our life where the only resource we have is the Lord. There's nobody else you can go to except him. But he wants you to come to him. And I want to pray for you. So would you bow with me? Father, Thank you this morning for these mothers who are here. Thank you, Father, for drawing them this morning. Thank you for the work you've done in the lives of these women. Thank you for giving them the gift of being a mom. Whether they have biological children or their children are adopted, or whether they have children by default, Lord, whatever it is, however children have come under their care, I pray for them and I hold them up to you. I pray for them as women who need to know that they're loved, who need to know that somebody cares. And I pray, Father, that all of us as families will show verbal appreciation, give verbal appreciation to the women who are called mother. And that we will do our best to give them periods of rest and remember their need. And that the drain and the strain on them is constant from morning to night. They never get it finished. It's never done. And they have to live with the tension of always having more to do. And so, Father, we want to thank you for them. Thank you for all that they give. And I pray, Father, you'll grant them wisdom to do it well. And that you'll be strength for them. And you will encourage them in the role of mother, wife, grandmother. God, give them wisdom to invest and to touch the lives of children. Thank you, Father. Draw these women to yourself. If there's a woman here today who doesn't know you, I pray, Father, that she will say, God, I want you, and I trust Jesus as my Savior this morning. Father, I pray women will come to you today who don't know you and will be born again. God, thank you for bringing them here today. Thank you for blessing them with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.